Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Live at Mark Carman, Dave Ennett, and Steve Cochran live from the United Center. We'll be here until 1:30. Regular pregame starts 2 o'clock. The pregame festivities. What do we estimate puck drop? 220-ish?
220.
220?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Blues and the Blackhawks game 3. Breaking news. You know, it's my favorite phrase, breaking news. There is no breaking news. There's just the words breaking and news. Breaking news, the split the pot, which regularly goes for... What do we see during the playoffs? I've seen close to $100,000.
It gets up there.
Yeah, it's at $50. So if you want to come down and get your split the pot tickets right now, they have a little pregame party across the street, and I think the Ice Girls must be out there selling tickets because we're at $50.
Well, I actually just sent in my tax return, so uh-huh. I would gladly take $25 right now.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man, you are preaching to the choir. My accountant calls and he laughs like Batman, or to the Joker, I should say, from Batman, and just mocks me. Mark Carman, let's start with a little recap from Friday night. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, I just wanted to throw cold water on the show to start here that I was raised by Fred Carman, who's 90 years old. He told me never to gamble on raffle tickets at games, and it's affected me for my life. So I've never actually invested, Steve.
Are you a gambler?
I like to play a poker like once or twice a year.
You must be involved in illegal sports books.
Every now and then, sure. But,
yeah,
you know, but I try to limit
myself. We run a lot of illegal gambling activity out of the 7th floor at the Tribune Tower.
Oh, well, hey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak about
nice
that.
Nice job in the denial.
Yeah. I thought that was strong. So, yes, Friday, Steve, moving along here. I thought that I'm a letter of the law guy versus the spirit of the law.
Okay.
I mean, let me rephrase that. I'm a spirit of the law guy, not the letter of the law.
Okay.
The letter of the law helped the Blackhawks greatly. If it was me, I would not have overruled the offsides. But by the absolute letter of the now we have cameras on the blue line and everything. I mean, the Blackhawks had a huge benefit from that, and they also had
two. How do you get two? You get two phenomenal breaks on the road. And normally, a defending champ maybe gets less because, not that, look, I don't buy into any of the stuff the officials cheat, the officials set up games, but everybody's a human being, right? And everybody has certain biases at certain times. The interesting thing that happened there is, because Hitchcock's a great coach, and he didn't challenge the goal until New York confirmed it was a goal, and then he challenged the goal. Because I think that was confusing for a lot of people, don't you, Dave?
It was very confusing, and it's kind of like, okay, they've already looked at it. The officials here have already looked
at it again.
So why challenge there? And it worked out, obviously, to the benefit of the Blackhawks. But this whole thing about defending champs getting the breaks or getting the benefit of the doubt, I think there is some validity to that in all sports.
Getting the break or not getting the break?
Getting the break. I think
even on the road.
I'm not saying that they... I'm not saying there was anything wrong with the calls that ultimately were made
right.
in this case, but I do think that sometimes if you are the defending champ, and Mark, we used to hear this with the Bulls.
All the time.
But I think ultimately it's all going to even out. So you might get a call here, but you're going to not get that call the next time, or maybe you didn't get it last time, you get it this time. The Blackhawks have certainly had calls go against them over the course of the season.
And when you think about the luck, the ebb and flow of luck in the game, you can factor luck into officiating as well. Right place, right time, right camera angles, things of that nature. You could also make the argument the Hawks wouldn't have lost to the Kings if not for the luck or the bad luck bounce of a puck.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's no question that the Blues may get a couple going their way going forward, but obviously the results favored us, and we like what favors us.
We do, and the bottom line is Latour was offsides. Mm-hmm. That was not interference, but there was one play before that, right? 10:46 to go in the third. You had Robbie Fabry was cross-checked by Ladd, all right? That's going to be a penalty on Andrew Ladd, but then they say that Fabry was, you know, they called embellishment.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it goes, I mean,
which
that
is a total judgment call. I mean, you're the NBA head. You see this in the NBA all the time, where flopping reigns supreme. You can flop in hockey.
Right, but you rarely. Now, that call, how often do you get embellishment?
You get it, what, Dave? I'd say once a every. If you watch NHL or you watch NHL coverage, I'd say you get it once a week max, and it's not always covered. I mean, you got to go pretty deep in the weeds to look at embellishment penalties.
You know what? I've seen it more. It seems like the last month or so, there seem to have been more of those calls. So maybe it's something that
– more faking, getting ready for the playoffs.
They're making it a point of emphasis going into the playoffs.
1-1 game in the third period, you get an embellishment call. So you go from being on the penalty kill to have a 4-on-4 to – and then all of a sudden you're – I mean, it's crazy how one call, one moment can turn the whole series. Because right now, I mean, people think the St. Louis Blues are dead.
Not at all.
I agree.
Not at all. I think it goes 7 now. I said 6 before. I think it goes 7. Based on these first two games, how intense they were and how well they were played, even though the wheels came off for the Blues late, I think this now goes 7.
Yeah, I think in past years, coming off a loss like that, coming in here where the Blues have fared so poorly in the postseason, I think you would have looked at this and said, well, the Blackhawks have a real heavy advantage in this game. I'm not sure that's the case today. I think they're going to be mad. I think they're going to
come
back.
They're big. And they're mean.
Yep.
And, you know, they want to have 75 hits a game, according to Hitchcock. Here's the thing. If they commit to that plan over the course of 6 or 7 games, they're not going to have anything left by the 6th or the 7th game, because physicality takes a toll on the little guys and the big guys.
It's almost painful just to sit there and watch it. I mean, so many cross checks, guys just being pummeled to the ice. The Blues had one player play all 82 games all season long. It's Troy Brouwer, the former Blackhawk. Uh-huh. I mean, he's a maniac out there. I think he's had 14 hits combined. He had 9 in game 2.
Well, he mixed it up with a couple of Hawks, too, the other night.
I mean, he's just a man on a mission out there.
Here's the thing that struck me about the Andrew Shaw goal, which was, you know, would have been the game winner if not for that chippy at the end of the game. But the Andrew Shaw goal, which, again, could have gone either way. You see the overhead camera on that? How does anyone play goalie in the National Hockey League?
I know.
Because you got a guy's butt in your face. You got guys all around you. You got about a foot and a half to play the position. You're screened constantly. It's incredible that they're not 10-9 games.
It's amazing when you watch these guys. And you saw the goal last night that Philadelphia Steve Mason allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
From center ice. I mean, it was crazy. Those don't happen. You see shots from close in, laser beams, that these guys, and they're screened, and they somehow stop them. It's unbelievable.
It really is crazy.
And on the Shaw goal, I mean, Elliott's cracking him. And, I mean, if Andrew Shaw, you're talking about 5'11", 160.
Oh, he's 5'11". Yeah, 5'11",
right.
Heels.
Right.
He's 5'7".
Right.
I could post him up.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, he's 5'6", 5'7", and if he's 160, I mean, he doesn't have an ounce of fat on
him. I used to call him the Chihuahua because, you know, little dogs don't know how to fight or don't know how to not fight big dogs.
They think they're bigger.
Yeah, they always think they're bigger.
I mean, how do you stay in there and then we're going to be in the most intense moment. I'm going to keep wailing on you, and somehow, some way, I'm going to find a little sliver of action. It's really.
And then to see Seabrook splayed across the blue paint. We're going, well, this call can't go well because, you know, you got two Hawks in the paint. And yet it did. So we're lucky and good to get out of Friday night with a 1-1 situation. And look, nobody's more positive and more of a homer than me. But I'll be very surprised if it's not 2-2 when it goes back to St. Louis for Game 5.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think there's a great shot of that. But would you be shocked if the Blackhawks win these next two?
No,
on history?
Well, that's the other side, too. If the Blackhawks, say, lost today, and let's say they even lost on Tuesday, I'd still think they're going to win the series.
You're pushing it to the wall then. You know, you don't want to go down 3-1.
You don't, but they've done it before. They did it to the Red Wings. It's just, you know, everyone's like, makes such a big deal out of one game, all the whole momentum. These guys are professionals. They're not going to lay over and die because they lost a hockey game.
No, of course not, but they're also not as young as they were when they did it against the Red Wings.
Well, that's true, too.
So, you know, I think the whole thing, again, and I've said this to you, Dave, on our show, Steve Cochran Show, mornings, 6 to 10. All you Hawks fans who currently listen to something else, ask yourself why. And catch Coach Q and Hawks players all week. I mean, we're the only ones doing that. What are you thinking? So, but I've said this to you on air, Dave. I think the Hawks have a master plan to kill me in one of these playoff series that could happen. I mean, I'm 55 now, man. The stress is difficult.
And you combine that with the 8:30 starts. We have two of them this week, Tuesday
Ridiculous.
And Thursday.
Ridiculous.
So no sleep plus stress.
It's amazing I can look as sexy as I do at 6 a.m.
Really
when I'm
is.
Staying up that late.
Yeah.
All right, want to take a break?
How about if we remind everybody this live broadcast for the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Back at the United Center in the extended pregame, which we'll do, I believe, for every weekend game for the Hawks and for as many weeknight games as possible, depending on start times. Mark Cameron is here. Dave Ennett's here. I'm Steve Cochran. And, Carm, you were making a point before the break.
Was that Bloodhound Gang?
It was.
Wow. It's a little Sunday.
Mike Heidemann getting it done, baby.
Interesting choice there.
Heidemann. Heidemann.
That might be the strongest bump in Sunday morning, 11:24 WGN history. Okay, my point before the break there, Steve, was that you have a morning show. Nobody likes
number one talk show in Chicago.
That's exactly right.
What are you talking about?
That's exactly right. 6 to 10, 7:20 right. WGN. If you're right. not listening, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
Okay. Nobody wants 8:30 games. They can't be that huge of a ratings draw.
That's something I don't understand, right? Because you go East Coast 9:30. Why would you put the bigger ratings draw on at 9:30 at night? I mean, it must work, right? They're not stupid.
Right, and just, by the way, just put it on the big channel. Let's just go NBC right to the front. Blackhawks at 7. The world wants to be watching.
Here's this goes to the NCAA final as well. Nobody overthinks themselves into losing money more than television executives. And television executives did that with the NCAA final. Jay Blunk, everybody. Give Jay Blunk a hand. Jay Blunk.
Yeah.
Jay Blunk walking by the broadcast site right now. Thanks for stopping in, Jay. Talk to you later. The NCAA final was on what, TNT?
That's right, TBS. Yes,
TBS. TBS. It was on four networks or three. It was True TV, TBS, TNT.
And then CBS.
And it was like the third.
No, well, I'm talking to the championship game.
Oh, the championship game, yeah, right.
And record low ratings.
Record low ratings.
Mm-hmm. So we all know where this is going. Where this is going, kids, is at some point there's a very good chance we're going to pay for access to sports. Prior to that, it's all going to end up with full access on our phones and full access on our mobile devices. But in the meantime, when the major broadcast networks are dying, and you're putting on reality programming because it's cheap, give people what they want. Give them the major sporting events. NBC, is NBC doing this game today?
Yes.
They are doing the Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon game.
Yes.
Okay, they're doing the Sunday afternoon game because they don't have a golf tournament and they don't have other choices. The NHL is a sport that's been on the rise since the Blackhawks started their comeback in 08. If you're not on the NHL bandwagon as a broadcaster now, you're missing the boat.
They had record numbers attendance-wise this year.
Put them on a big channel, like you said.
I'm saying put them, right? I mean, what are you going to do that's better than that right
last
now?
Last night, NBC had boxing, which, okay, it's kind of a throwback thing.
We yeah.
used to have Saturday night fights regularly, and I think Fox was showing UFC last night. So clearly they're looking for live sporting events.
Sure.
What's better drama than the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, look, I don't know what NBC runs, say, on a when's the next game?
Tuesday night.
I don't know what NBC runs a Tuesday night in primetime.
Something Chicago. Chicago Med.
Yeah,
Chicago
exactly.
Fire.
Exactly.
Right?
How about you put them on Hulu and you put them in other places and you put the game on the big channel?
Mm-hmm. Well, because it fits the theme, the Chicago theme.
Yeah, there you go. Chicago hockey. Right. That's the new show.
You're also trying to bring in the casual fan. The casual fan at 9 o'clock wants to watch the third period. He doesn't want to watch 10 minutes to go in the first period.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because in the same way that the Red Zone is such a huge hit. Who does that, Dish Network?
Yes.
The Red Zone is such a huge hit. I know the NHL has had these discussions. The NBA has had these discussions. And MLB has had these discussions where you give them the last part of the game. You
right.
give them 7, 8, and 9 in baseball. You give them third period in hockey. You give them the last 3 minutes in the NBA when the action actually begins.
30 seconds.
Yeah, you give them all of that. And that's probably in our ADD-ruled world the way that sports is going to end up as well.
It is unbelievable. We cannot sit still for a second.
No.
Just give it to me right now. I need to know. Okay, great. Now I can go back to my phone.
We're live at the United Center. What's our guest lineup again? Who's coming up?
We have Troy Murray coming up, our Blackhawks analyst. And, he'll be here after the 11:30 news. And then a little after 12:30, Tony Esposito. A little after 1 o'clock, Jabal Mayers.
All right. And we want to thank Jay Blunk again for stopping in for an exclusive interview for the president of business operations.
Especially we were talking television, which is kind of
part of
right in his ballpark.
Yeah, there's guys that are modest, and it's false modesty. Mm-hmm. Jay is actually that kind of guy. Jay Blunk could be on fire, and he would stop to tell you how great you're doing. And you go, Jay, you should put out the fire. No. Dave, Carm, you're doing great. You're really doing great. You guys are killing it. And it's not false. He's the best guy. He's the best guy.
Absolutely.
Period.
I think I did one update on WGN back in 2007, and Jay's like, you're doing great. I'm like, how is that possible that you, A, heard that, and, B, I'm going to choose to believe you.
He hears everything.
That's a trick, I'm telling you. We'll take a break, come back with the news. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are popping tops at the best BYO sports and spots around town. See, because there's no R there, so that would have been spots if I had read that correctly.
And welcome back to the United Center, getting ready for the Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues, Game 3 this afternoon. With a face-off a little after 2 o'clock, Dave Ennett with Steve Cochran, Mark Carman. We are at the Goose Island Pub, just outside the Goose Island Pub, near Section 108 at the United Center. We'll be here till 1:30. This afternoon, about a half, right when our pregame show gets going.
Yeah, people are here.
We have a crowd.
I don't want to, I'm not great at estimating crowds, but I think there's around 12,000 people that have assembled in the last few minutes right in front of us. And we welcome Troy Murray, the legendary Troy Murray from your Chicago Blackhawks. Please hold your applause. Okay, now applaud.
These 12,000 are here for me. I just want you guys to know.
Yeah, no.
They knew I was coming on at 11:35,
okay,
and they
Captain
are here.
Cocky, early. I was about to give you credit for that. So, I talked to you in St. Louis the other day. How'd you play?
What?
Don't act like he didn't play golf. You admitted
actually,
it on the air.
I played real well.
What'd you shoot?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're going to tell me in a break?
No, because
I'll go to the penalty box over this one. I'll take a five-minute major.
No.
What do you mean you're not going to tell me? What's the matter with you?
I won money.
Okay. All right, I don't care about the money. So, I want to know what you
shoot. No, I don't want you to know what I shoot. I want the edge.
We're going to keep this going.
I need strokes when we play this summer. That is my point.
We opened a show talking about Friday night. Now, you played in a million games. You've seen the puck bounce your way and the puck bounce against you. You've seen calls go for you and against you. Was Friday night just another one of those, or was it different?
You know what? It is what it is. In today's rules, it is what it is. I said both calls could have gone either way.
Yeah,
they were that close. From what we saw in the radio booth, we couldn't see whether the skate was off the ice or
right.
not. We couldn't tell. Obviously, there's a different camera angle, and it was millimeters in going one way or the other. The interference on Andrew Shaw, I don't know. We saw something happen with Marian Hossa in Phoenix earlier this year that was I was stunned that they made that decision there. So they have a better perspective of what's going on. They have the criteria that they use. I don't know what it is, but it ended up in the favor of the Blackhawks, and I know that a lot of people were upset if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, and I understand that, but it's that close. The letter of the intent of the rule when it was put in was not to pick a half an inch out of the equation.
Right.
It was the offside that happened against the Blackhawks a couple years ago in the playoffs
where it was
2 feet offside against the L.A. Kings.
Yep.
That's why that rule was kind of put in. Now, all of a sudden, when you look at the letter of the law or the rule, you have to go down to the fact that if the puck crosses the line and the skate is not on the blue line or there's no contact, then it's offside. So now you've created a situation where you have to go to the exact letter of the rule that's in the book on what is an offside and what isn't. That's not the intent of the rule, but that's where we stand.
Okay, so the best explanation for offsides, because it's amazing how confusing offsides is for folks, but the puck has to beat both skates into the offensive zone. In other words, if one skate's behind or if the toe's on the ground behind the line, you're okay. Or even on the line, you're okay. One skate.
Yes.
But if both skates are in the zone ahead of the puck, it's offsides.
Yeah.
So there's
the puck has to cross the line.
Ahead.
Ahead of the player.
Right. Right, right. So that was the confusion. What about the Shaw call?
Well, again, with what happened to Marian Hossa, I was stunned.
Right.
And earlier this season, mid-season in Phoenix, I think it was, where there was a goal overturned where Marian Hossa's stick just got slightly tied up in the equipment of the goaltender. In my opinion, it didn't inhibit him from making the save. they overturned that goal, and that's when Joel Quenneville snapped and slammed the stick on the boards and, you know, couldn't believe it. You listen to the coaches around the National Hockey League. Some of them take the high road. Some of them say, listen, I don't have a clue what they're going to do on these calls. But anytime there's contact in front of the net, the referees are in a position where in real time when it happens that quick,
right,
you can't see what's going on. You slow it down, and it almost becomes not a hockey play. But, you know, inches, does there contact? Was he in the crease? Was there somebody who put – I mean, I just don't know. I don't understand it. So we just sit there and wait for the call to come out, and you deal with it one way or the other. And the Blackhawks were the beneficiary of both of those calls.
Too much analysis now? Does it take too much of the human element out of it? Obviously, it favored us Friday night.
Look at baseball, what's going on with the sliding, the tags. You know, the referees are going to make mistakes. At the end of the season, you're going to have 50 go your way, 50% go
right.
The other way. Deal with it, move on. Jonathan Toews was talking about how long it took in those review scenarios that happened because it was the offside, which is a lengthy one. The Shaw goal, which was reviewed by the league, and as soon as that was determined that it was a good goal, Ken Hitchcock calls the coach's challenge.
I did my taxes while that was going on.
Four and a half minutes.
Smoke him if you got him. I mean, you know, we're going to be here for a while.
See, here's the thing. I don't think you are taking the human element out of it in any of these sports because ultimately you still have humans, whether they're in Toronto or they're in St. Louis, who are looking at video and trying to interpret it. And so if you're going to use technology to try to correct whatever failings there might be in officiating, then you're going to have still things that are going to be open to interpretation. As you said, Troy, this is how they're looking at it and they're seeing it, and they've got to adhere to the letter of the rule, right? I mean, because if you're going to review it, you can't then say,
There's no gray area when you go to it. But that's the trickle-down effect of everything that's happened here now where – you know, I mean, on a play at first base, is it in the glove? It's inside the glove, but it hasn't made contact. You know, you're sitting here, and I get the point that all this is done to get the call correct.
But the bottom line is we like it when it goes our way. You know, and there's our human element. We like it when it goes our way. We don't when it doesn't.
I completely understand the St. Louis Blues side of the equation here. It's exactly what, you know, the Blackhawks were thinking when Marian Hossa's goal was overturned in Phoenix. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. This is what happened before. The problem is it's still, in the goaltender interference case, a still judgmental call by the people looking at it. If it's you one night, if it's you the next night, you're the team the following night. You may have a different perspective of goaltender interference, even though the criteria is like sitting right in front of you.
I was surprised we got both of them. I think we're very lucky, Carm.
I'm just wondering if Troy, if you're judge and jury back when you're playing, I mean, would you vote for having replay or not? If it was up to just purely up to Troy Murray,
Troy played, they actually sketched the thing.
Right.
They had a courtroom artist that would actually sketch it out, then they'd hold the pictures
up. Or even forget about your day. Would you vote for it now?
You know what? There's a scenario that we go back to when I was playing. We were playing in Boston. Mike Keenan was the coach.
Yeah.
Steve Larmer scored with 3 seconds to go. I don't know if you're – I'm looking in the audience to a friend of mine here. Steve Larmer scored with about 3 seconds to go on the clock in Boston. The timekeeper there let the clock wind down. There was no review process back there.
Sure.
When you looked at it on the our archaic video, you could see that 3 seconds, the puck was in the net, 2-1, they blow the horn, no goal, doesn't count. Our entire team went over to the time bench, and we were all just livid. Mike Keenan came across the ice to confront the people and the timekeepers. The referees are going, well, you know, I don't.
What do you want? It's over.
Yeah, it's over. That went against us. For Boston, they were happy that there was no. I don't know. As a former player, I didn't mind what was going on back in the day. But we didn't have the technology that they do here today. You look at the inches for the football play. Is what part of the cleat or the shoe is it touching one little blade of the line?
Yeah, does the ball cross the goal line any particular point? First down.
Man, you can
like
be nitpicky and try and, you know, figure out what's the best.
Well,
way
it can
to
be
do
frustrating.
It, right
it can be frustrating, but if the goal is to get it right, why not use the technology? And I think that's a good thing. Now, the Blues' response to Friday night was interesting because we talked about this a little bit earlier. But I'm curious to get your take on this. They would normally lose it if past history is what it would be. It would be expected to be again. Their response in postgame is very measured. They're like, look, it happened. Let's move on. And that's the way it should be, but I think that makes them more dangerous going forward because it didn't look like the wheels were coming off as much.
No, and I think that that's important that they keep that mentality. There might have been a little bit of frustration, obviously, because right after the call was overturned on the offside, Tarasenko, who scored the goal, takes a slashing penalty, and it's an obvious penalty at any point of a hockey game where you slash it, and Andrew Shaw's stick was snapped in half. Right in front of the referees, you can't complain about that. Now they score the goal in the power play, a complete twist of fate in that hockey game. You deal with it, and if you dwell on it too much, the one thing about this Blackhawks team that we've seen since this core group has been together, the highs and the lows are right here, right in the middle.
Right.
You deal with it, you're going to get some breaks for you, you're going to get some against you. St. Louis, I think, handled it the right way. Ken Hitchcock said a few things, but I don't think he was overly concerned about it. It's done, it's over with. You know, if you're going to beat Muhammad Ali in a championship fight and you're even with him at the end of the night, who's going to get the decision on that? That's kind of something that he was alerting to, but at the same time, you know, Joe Quenneville decided not to even comment on that yesterday because there's no reason for it. You weren't happy if you're St. Louis, but you move on. It's 1-1. Look at the first game. If you look at those first two games, you probably say that both teams deserve to be 1-1 in the series.
Great two games.
Yeah. You know, I mean, could they have been up 2-0? Could Chicago have been up 2-0? Absolutely. It's that close. I say this before I get too long-winded, which I am already. The series in 2010 against the San Jose Sharks where the Blackhawks swept them in four games.
Yep.
San Jose could have swept the Blackhawks in four
totally
games.
Agree.
That's how close that series was. And as well, Blackhawks swept them. Well, no. One puck went in for the Blackhawks per game that didn't go in against. See, there's the goal sound right now.
Yeah, actually, that apparently we're out of time. Dave, question for Troy.
Well, just to get back to Hitchcock for a moment, and I want to follow up on what you just said. But
by the way, I know Hitch. I grew up with him in Edmonton. I've known him for a long time.
He's a great coach.
Great guy. I love him.
I thought what he did Friday night was he was taking the onus off of his players. He said, "You guys don't have to complain about this. Here's I'm gonna take it for our team. I'm gonna say what needs to be said, and that's gonna be it." So he doesn't put the players in the position of having to say, "Well, we should have gotten this." Or we did. I think that's a great coaching move by Hitchcock to do that. Even though I know Blackhawks fans are up, well, he's just whining because they lost on those two calls or whatever.
Yeah, he took the onus and put it on himself. He made his statement. It's done. It's over with. The players don't have to deal with it. I know that over the weekend there was still a lot being made in the media. We were down here for the scrum. They were still talking about it. Look at what happened yesterday in the game between the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota Wild. To me, in my wildest understanding of what the rule is, I have no idea how that was ruled a good goal.
Right.
But
by the way, you got to see it on replay.
Bang, bang, bang by the criteria that they have. I guess it's a good goal. I can all see those guys in that situation room going, "Oh, goodness."
Right, yeah, what are we going to do
What
now?
Are we doing with this
right,
one?
Right.
I guess Darryl Rae on the Dallas Stars just said, "Good luck, guys." That was his comment. Good luck, because I have no idea.
Carm?
Well, a little more on Ken Hitchcock, because there's a lot of people, and when I say people, I'm talking about Blues fans, that don't think that Ken Hitchcock deserves to be the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, especially if they lose to the Blackhawks.
Be careful what you wish for. He's pretty good.
I mean, Troy, you got a relationship with him and all, but I mean, I'm sure you hear all that stuff. Do you think that's fair? Or do the Blackhawks have a huge edge because Ken Hitchcock is coaching this team?
I don't think they have a huge edge. I think he's one of the smartest coaches in the National Hockey League. I think the disappointment is them not being able to get over the hump, and you point your finger at the bench boss. It's no different than any other sport. If you don't get it done, are you going to blame all the players, or are you going to look at the coaching staff or the general manager and say they can't get it done? You know, that's where the finger is pointing right now. And there is, to be quite honest with you, whether, you know, Hitch would, you know, say this or not, there's a lot of heat on the Blues organization to get through this first round and have a long run in the postseason. Bottom line is if it doesn't happen, you're going to have a lot of people pointing fingers at all different directions within the Blues organization. That's just the bottom line. I think he's a great coach. He's one of the coaches that's always in consideration for the World Cup, for the Olympics. He's a smart coach. I'm not inside the locker room. I don't know how he deals with the guys individually, what his speeches are like, what he says between periods. He's a sharp coach, and the St. Louis Blues, you know what, if they listen to the wisdom of a guy like Ken Hitchcock, they'd be really good. If you know, they're tuning them out, then maybe that is an issue.
Yeah, you still got to play. The players still have to play.
The game's decided on the ice. Yeah, and, you know, right now the Blackhawks have been able to have that edge against the Blues.
More with Troy Brower. We got a couple more minutes left with Troy, and stand by for that.
Hey,
Troy
Brower? What?
What'd I say?
Troy Brower?
Yeah, he's coming over in a second. No, Troy Murray.
This live broadcast.
I thought we were closer than that.
Let me tell you.
Dave Cochran.
Power of suggestion or what? Look at the notes I'm looking at. I'm an idiot. Troy Murray's still here. We couldn't get Troy Brower.
I couldn't let you go with that
Of course not. I would have buried myself. Well done by you. Well played.
These are live broadcasts. And this live broadcast for the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success.
We got Phil Esposito coming up, too, don't we?
And Tony, yes, we do. Phil will be here. Okay. And it's sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. And our live broadcast before Game 3 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And courtesy of Citgo, Citgo is fueling good.
Back live at the United Center with our friend Troy Murray. And I say this all the time, but I feel like it should be said all the time. You and Weidemann are the best listen in hockey. And
no doubt.
You deserve, you know, for all the needle you and I give each other, you deserve so much credit for coming off the ice and into the booth and getting it right so early along. But how many years has it been now? Ballpark it for me.
12 years? I think John and I have been together 9 years.
Hasn't it gone pretty quickly?
Wow. Yeah, it has.
Amazing, right?
Amazing.
How does he stay fresh? Like, he does the broadcast, then it's the post game, and you never sound tired.
Well, you love
ever.
The game, right? Don't you love the game? You got to love the game or you wouldn't be doing it.
Well, I mean, if I love what I'm doing. There's a passion in it, and John has a true calling in his life of being the play-by-play guy. He's the best in the business. It's fun. I enjoy it. I love the travel. I love everything about it. And I don't miss playing the game.
Did you re-realize that in Minnesota?
I re-realized that the next day.
Yeah.
That I don't miss the game.
Anybody that's an old jock remembers it was always the second day after a hard workout. You get to a certain age, and it's the next day.
Well, I actually tried
the
to.
The sore kicks in quicker.
I tried to train the week prior to that.
Yeah.
I skated a couple times. 3 out of 4 days I skated.
Yeah.
Fifth day, I couldn't walk, so I said, that's my training done, over with. I'm going to play
Life's
the game.
Life's not fair.
Was it fun, though?
I loved it. Loved it. It was an absolute blast to be back.
Seem to remember you scoring.
I tell the kids when I do the hockey camps and stuff in the summer, you know, you got to have a passion in life. And to me, even being on the ice with the kids and stuff, that's my happy place.
Well,
still love being out there.
And think about it, to be in
you in the golf course.
Yeah, but
happy.
Well, it's here too. I mean, to be in a position where you're lucky enough to you know, finish the main chunk as a player and to still be in the game you love at the highest level. I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
I honestly feel very fortunate in what I'm doing right now, and obviously I'm very thankful to the Blackhawks to put me in this position. The team's been great to talk about here the last little while. If you remember when I started, it was a little bit of a struggle where the team was in the process of making the playoffs once in 10 years. Good learning curve, though, to go from there to where we are now.
Well, it's an interesting because it's a different task, right? Because as the analyst, you got to make a bad team interesting back in the day that you know is going to be good. Now, I suppose you tell me, but in some cases, you got to stay out of the way of a really good team or find your spots maybe a little more.
In talking to the other teams that were in the position that I were, where they're struggling and sometimes they're out of the playoffs by Christmas, to try and make the broadcasting interesting and keep everybody listening, tuned in, is a challenge. Now it's just you pick your spots on the highlights because this team is so win or lose. There's so many good things happening and there's so many positives that you just kind of can, well, here's my, you know, poison in this game, and this is what I want to talk about.
Do these guys, the current guys, get the older guys? Do they understand the history of the game and the place of the game? They see Tony walking around or they see Savard. Do they understand how important they are to the game?
I think they do, especially a guy like Jonathan Toews. He really understands the history and the tradition of not only the Blackhawks but the NHL, and that's why he's such a great ambassador, because he gets that he is now the Bobby Hull of his era,
right?
And the Stan Mikita and those type of players, not only in the Blackhawks organization, I said, but in the entire National Hockey League, because he is the face of the NHL in some ways.
Quick last word for you guys before we let Troy go.
Troy, this team has accomplished so much over this span. They've won three Stanley Cups. They've had Conn Smythe winners. Obviously, this year a scoring champ. They've done so many things. One of the things that's out there for them is back-to-back Stanley Cups, to be the first team to do that since the Red Wings, and the first team in the salary cap era to do that. Do you think that matters to them, or is it just a matter of just going to get another cup?
I think it's all included in what their purpose is. And the one thing about this core group of guys, they're wired to win. You know, sometimes you take it and it's a good year and you win and now you're satisfied. These guys aren't satisfied. Jonathan Toews is wired to win every game, to win every season, to win the Stanley Cup each time that he's out there on the ice. Patrick Kane driven the same way. This year he had a focus. I want to be the best player in the NHL. I do want to win the scoring race. That was one of the things that he talked about at the beginning of the season. These guys are wired differently than almost any team I've ever seen before or played against. Maybe going back to the Edmonton Oilers, where they were wired to win.
Right, expected to win.
They weren't going to sit back and say, last year, we can take this year off. You could make any excuses you want with this team, and they don't take any of them.
Carm, you want to ask for a prediction?
Yeah. And
I don't make predictions.
Let's go. Let's
I said ask. I didn't get an answer.
Well, let's go this way. You've seen the first two games, and I mean, you've seen these teams play a gazillion times, but just from the first two, where do you think, if anywhere, the Hawks have an edge?
I just think it's the ability of the core group of guys to make the difference when the game is on the line. And it's been brought up time and time again. When you have Kane, Toews, you know, Patrick Sharp when he was here, those guys are on the ice and they have an opportunity to change the game. They take advantage of it. And I still believe that, you know, the intangible difference between the St. Louis Blues and the Blackhawks is the core group of guys that they have. Duncan Keith comes back into the lineup, an immediate impact. Patrick Kane picks up a couple assists. You know, those are the type of players. Corey Crawford making the big saves we need to. This is a very, very even series, and it could go seven games, and I expect it to be very long.
Could go eight.
It could go one way or the other. But I think that when you look at this core group of guys, that kind of separates them from not only the Blues, but everybody else that they have played, and that's why they've won three Stanley Cups.
Appreciate you doing this, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Have a great
call.
Yeah. All right, that's our friend Troy Murray, Dave. It's Murray.
Okay, thanks for straightening that out, Steve.
But set us to break, will you?
This live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success and sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 720 WGN. From the United Center, Game 3, Blackhawks and Blues, coming up in just about 2 hours from now. We're at the Goose Island Pub on the main concourse at the United Center.
It's Dave Ennett, everybody.
Steve Cochran, Mark Carmen, and I'm him. And this live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success and sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Carmen's coming up. Go ahead, turn your mic on.
Good question, Stephen. Yes, that is a key component to broadcasting, microphone on. We've got Tony Esposito at 12:30, and then we're going to talk to Jamal Mayers at 1 o'clock. I personally, reading everything that I read coming into today, the best piece that I saw, Steve, was Chris Hine, not to put him on the pedestal because he was on the beat yesterday, but I'll just do that. Jonathan Toews has a garden. The guy is making kale and tomatoes and beets and broccoli or whatever else is going on. I mean, there's nothing that Jonathan Toews doesn't do. The guy's, you know, arguing.
Well, we could put three prominent Chicagoans together, couldn't we? We could put Mayor Emanuel, Dave Ennett, and Jonathan Toews together, and they could have themselves a little kale club.
Which of these three is not like the others?
Mayor Emanuel was on a show the other day and was sickened by the fact that his wife made him drink a kale shake every morning. Dave couldn't have been more thrilled. So in the last couple of weeks on the show, Steve Cochran Show, 6 to 10, never going to get more Hawks coverage and the other good stuff. I don't know why you're listening to anybody else. In the last 2 weeks, we've had Rahm Emanuel offer to take Andrea on a bike tour of the city and offer to swap kale recipes with you.
Mm-hmm. Right, and somebody else brought up kale also.
I think kale did come up twice.
Yeah, it's been a big...
And he also wanted to take me swimming at 6 a.m., but right. I explained to him I'm a little busy most days. But the Garden of Kale.
The Garden of Kale, he was 11 years old. Kids would come over to sleep over. They'd go into the Jonathan Toews workout room, start pumping iron. Then they'd go outside, play hockey. Then these kids thought that, hey, can we watch a movie or do something? But no, night time. Let's get ready to do it again tomorrow. I'm Jonathan Toews. I'm going to be in the NHL and be the best player.
Well, and that discipline you're talking about, we've heard that from inside the organization for years now. The guy is absolutely religious about taking care of himself and taking care of what he needs to take care of on a routine, on a schedule. So let me put you in that position, Carm. You're 20, what's Toews, 27 now?
20, I thought 29, 27, right?
Well, let's say 28.
We'll do a double check, but go ahead, yes.
All right, so he's 28 years old.
Right.
He's got all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Last word, he had a ridiculously hot fiance, which you would expect.
Right.
And he's got every distraction possible. I mean, how about that? How about the fact that he's able to stay focused, still gnaw on stuff from his garden because it's good for him, and go to bed at a reasonable hour?
Well, and that's you're right, by the way. He's 27. You're talking about, I think, the Derek Jeter of baseball,
yeah,
right?
I think you're right.
Like, the guy played till he was 40 years old, was never in trouble in
New
York.
It's a great analogy.
Right? I mean, you can't get, like, people around here, well, he's like Michael Jordan. He's not really like Jordan at all. He's actually like Jeter, who's perfect on the ice, perfect off the ice, never in trouble, and he wins. It's
a pretty good story.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story in sports in general. Speaking of sports in general, before we get back to hockey, you're the NBA guy. You know the NBA inside and out. What's a bigger story to you from last week? Kobe Bryant 60 in his last game, or the eclipsing of the Bulls season record?
Well, I would have rather been, if I was covering those, I would have rather been at Kobe. The whole NBA world was there. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal and all these guys are going crazy in the front row watching him, and I don't care that he shot the ball 50 times. To put up 60 in his final game, that's just ridiculous. Even to get the shot off, it's not like he's going up against some YMCA team just to be able to shoot him.
Well, he pretty much cinched his icy hot endorsement afterwards because he's getting too old to throw up 50 shots in a game.
Well, and also it's when he was making those shots,
that's
too.
True, too. I mean, he had 23 in the fourth. It was just ridiculous.
Or he should have been tired.
Right. But the Golden State thing, a lot of people are saying, well, it's, records are made to be broken. And I don't even think the 72-10 Bulls team was the best Bulls team. I prefer a younger version of Jordan. But I hated that ended. And the Bulls gave away a couple games themselves down the stretch. So I was rooting against Golden State the whole season. Which, that, by the way, giving him a lot of the older guys in the game, too, like Oscar Robertson says stuff like, they don't teach defense nowadays. What are they doing? These guys are unbelievable. Steph Curry's ridiculous. I mean, he crosses half court. He's a threat. And by the way, he can get to the hole, too, and he's an excellent passer.
Outside of Nancy Kerriganing his knee, I don't know how you stop Steph Curry.
Which is what they
just got to hope for a bad night, because I don't know how you stop him. Now, the thing I want to mention, too, about the Golden State Warriors before we get off the NBA is, how about my old friend Steve Kerr?
He's unbelievable.
All the guy does is win. He won with the Bulls. He won with the Spurs as a player. He comes back, and now in his first 2 years as coach, he's got a team that's so far and away the best team in the NBA. The only thing close is his old team, the Spurs.
You know what I love about Kerr? Because, like, let's compare him to the Bulls head coach, Fred Hoiberg, right? Both were shooters in the NBA, and Fred was a guy who was super motivated and got himself to play all the time. But Kerr's got this anger in him that, he comes across super nice guy, right?
He's a great guy. Phenomenal guy.
But if you remember, he got in a fist fight with Michael Jordan in practice, right?
Well, the way Steve has always explained that is he inadvertently put his face in front of Michael's fist.
Right.
But then he actually said at one point, I hit Michael's fist with my face. The whole thing was my fault.
But in reality, the guy got super competitive with Jordan in practice, right? If you remember when he was a Cleveland Cavalier way back in the day, he jumped on Stacey King in a playoff game. He's a guy that comes across super nice, but he's leading that team with some force, too. I mean, I think he just deserves
incredibly
a ton of credit.
Competitive.
And by the way, excellent broadcaster.
Yeah, that's right. I missed that old chapter, didn't I? A great broadcaster. And then let's go to baseball for a second. How amazing is it to have two killer teams – both sides of the town. And I hate to break it to you, we're almost through April.
Yeah, and we just have not had an April like this. And to see both teams where they are, I know the White Sox lost last night. They got one more in Tampa. But to see that both teams start well, because it's hard to do in Chicago.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened very often. And to have them both doing it, people ought to kind of take notice of this and file it away, because it doesn't happen every year.
Well, I know it's tough to get Cubs tickets now. It's not so tough to get White Sox tickets. if you really love baseball in this town, you have a chance to see great baseball. And by the way, it's a long season. There's no way you can guarantee it's going to be great in August. See the White Sox now while you can. Obviously, see the Cubs if you can get a ticket. Because there, it's an amazing start. It's pretty cool.
I was actually shocked. I was at Wrigley for the first time on Friday. And, yes, the weekend games are super packed. But, I mean, there were sections available.
There were.
I was
well, until school's out, you'll still see some.
But you're talking about a team that went to the NLCS who was, like, heavily favored. A Friday afternoon, it was.
We got 9 million people in the greater Chicago area. If you love baseball, there's no reason you shouldn't go to a game. I don't care if school's out or not.
Right. Yeah, if you look at the secondary market, too, on Friday, tons of seats were going for $10. I was stunned. I'm assuming that'll change when it gets warm up. But
By the way, you like driving by all these Little League fields and the kids are out again?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's the start of spring.
Yep. Our live broadcast before Game 3 in the first round of the Stanley Cup Playoffs is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And courtesy of Sitco, Sitco is fueling good. The Midwestern University Family Medicine Clinic and Physical Therapy Institute offer comprehensive women's health care from preventative medicine to health maintenance, including screenings and rehabilitation. You'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Also offering the Speech Language Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute, their multi-specialty clinic in Downers Grove. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's mwuclinics.com or 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
I'm going to turn my own microphone on.
Yeah.
We're back at the United Center in the Goose Island Pub. What gate is this, 108, 110?
We're near 108, 109, okay. I believe.
So if you come by and say hi. It is filled up. You can certainly come by and say hello. We'd love to see you. That's Mark Carmen, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran here. If you're wondering who the main trouble spots are on the Blues team, Tarasenko is always the guy to watch. And got his first goal the other night. Also had the wheels come off a little bit, had a costly penalty. Troy Brouwer, the old Chicago Blackhawk, tough guy. It's funny. He does sort of remind me of Troy Murray, and I'm not trying to cover because he's a guy who can play both ends of the ice and play them both well. And David Backes, there's a leader of the team, and Backes is the guy that came out Friday night, whether he talked to Ken Hitchcock or not, and said, "We're not here to talk about what didn't go our way. It's time to move on and go win game three." Paraphrasing, of course, but those are the three guys who make the Blues the most dangerous.
Backes has faced the Blackhawks, I saw a stat, 53 times now. It'll be 54 today. I mean, that is just, it's amazing how many times these teams have played, how many wars they've gone through. And to your Troy Brouwer, that line, the Brouwer, Fabry, Stasny line.
Pretty great.
I mean, you're talking about two 30-year-olds and a rookie, and, I mean, Troy Brouwer has been impressing me in this series with how much he is just out in front and trying to lead the Blues past, he's played with 9 of the 20 Hawks, and that was 5 years ago. Think about
amazing
consistency, right?
Right. And had a good run with the Caps briefly as well, who are going to be the beast in the East unless something changes. Tony Esposito will be here shortly, and we can talk about Brian Elliott and Corey Crawford when he's here. But I'm telling you something, as great as Corey Crawford is, and he's been phenomenal, he's been standing on his head and a few other heads. Brian Elliott.
Spectacular.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Troy, or I should say to Tony, about how to get that done and how he continues to do that and what the Hawks need to do to break through that.
This will be Corey Crawford's 40th playoff game at the United Center today.
And he seems like he's about 25, doesn't he?
It does.
Crow's a little older there, right? Be 30?
30. He's 30. Yeah. 30, 31 almost.
And the other good news piece for the Hawks is Kaner hasn't broken through yet. Kaner hasn't lit it up, Kaner hasn't had one of those two-goal, two-assist nights. And my favorite Russian, Artemi Panarin. When those guys get going, I'm telling you. Panarin got a gimme the other night, a bunny, but that wasn't really because of him.
How do you guys break that down for who's been better for who? I like to give props here between Panarin and Kane. Like, is Panarin, I don't feel like he's the rookie of the year without Kane, but I don't think Kane's necessarily the MVP without Panarin. Like, that is.
Kaner was on with us the other day. He couldn't have given Panarin more credit.
Right.
Kaner said Panarin's made him better all year long. And Panarin said the same thing, but he said it in Russian. I didn't know what the hell he said.
There's a certain chemistry that those guys had basically from the get-go that's been incredible.
And it overshadows Anisimov, who's also had a really solid year.
And a great year as a translator.
Yeah, and that too.
You know, he's nailed it on both ends. Yeah. The one thing that people don't know is that Kaner and Panarin spend time together off the ice. When they're on the road and even at home, I know they work out together, and they spend a lot of time together, a lot of time getting to know each other. Because Panarin's, you know, not a kid by NHL standards. He's not 18. He's, I think, 24. But you walk into that dressing room when he did, he's fully aware of the faces he's looking at. And, you know, he's got that smile and stuff, but, you know, he still gets butterflies. And for him to be cocky enough to play at the level he's played at and to give the puck up, you know, he's not a gunner. He gives the puck up a lot. I think, to your question, I think they've both elevated each other's games.
And I think that the story goes with Panarin, too. He took not a lot less money, but he took less money to come to the Blackhawks and play with Kane with the idea that put some incentives in my contract, which, by the way, he just hit, and I'll make more. So he bet on himself. You got to appreciate somebody like that who says, you know what, you put me with that guy, you watch what I can do, and he's gone out and done it.
What'd he make, Duna? What's he making?
I think it's just under $1 million, but he just got a $2.5 million.
$2.5 million
kickdown.
How many rubles is that, do we know?
Quite a few.
That's a buttload of rubles?
That's a significant amount of rubles. Dave, you know how many rubles?
No, ruble expert. Let me get out the abacus. I'll figure it out.
Tony Esposito joins us next.
This live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success and sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
I wrote the words. You're live at the United Center.
Boo, boo, boo.
Yeah, you know.
I'm there.
You've obviously memorized it. And it's that part where they yell. I think it happens right about there.
Yes, sir.
Hope to hear a lot of this today. We are live at the United Center at Goose Island Pub, about an hour away from the start of actual pregame. And joining Mark Carman, Dave Bennett, and Steve Cochran now, the legend himself, the always well-dressed Tony Esposito. Handsome man.
You know, it's got to be,
Tony. It's got to be a little bit of that Binnie's. Get a little Binnie's in you once or twice. Keeps you going.
Well, it keeps you young, you know. You have a few of those vodka shots, and you're ready to roll.
This has been one of the better goaltender series so far in these first two games. How do you have a guy like Brian Elliott, who hadn't made a lot of noise, and everybody thought this would be Jake Allen's team, and he's just taken over?
Well, I mean, he's been hot, and he's playing very well, and they got two pretty good goaltenders, as if we have two good goaltenders. So I imagine if he cools down a little bit, they'll throw the other guy in, and I hope he cools down because I want to win.
You know, the thing about the Andrew Shaw goal the other night, and I talked about this top of the show with these guys, I don't know how you play goalie in the modern National Hockey League with the size of these players in your face, their butt backing up to you. You got maybe 2 to 3 feet in front of you and on either side at the most. You got to forecheck the guy that's blocking your view. You're screened by guys that are bigger than ever. How do these guys stop anything?
Well, what you do is, as you've seen, there's a lot of shots being blocked by the defensemen now, and everything is so congested. There's not a lot of open opportunities anymore. So, like you said, it's all congested, and sometimes you got to be in the right place at the right time, and that's what you do. You know, the goalies go down a lot more, and they're in position, and then everybody tries to block the shots, and that really helps. But overall, I think the series is going great, and I think we're playing well.
Did you have a particular move to get a guy out of your space? I know you'd talk to guys, you'd yell at them a little bit, but whack them in the back of the calf, what'd you do?
Well, what happened is we used to have the smaller crease, as you know. So the larger crease helps the goalie. And they never used to call any goaltender interference in the past. So you had a pound on a few guys once in a while. The back of the leg was the best place because there was no equipment and there was and you could hurt him.
Hit him, like, right in the Achilles, right? Oh, yeah. Right above the skate, right above the boot line.
Oh, yeah.
Give him a little whack right there.
A good whack. So
you got to do what you got to do. What do you think of Crow so far?
He's doing a great job for us, and I think that he's doing great, and Elliott's doing great. I think it's a very defensive game.
Sure.
This game nowadays, and especially with St. Louis, you know, they're big.
They are big. They're big strong, and they're ugly.
They're strong, and they mix it up. They don't give you a lot of opportunities.
Right.
And that's the way they play it. They play it very tight. I just want to see our team get the lead, Steve, and get a goal or two up on them. Then we force them to open up, and then they're playing our game.
A little bit of breathing room.
Tony, do you feel better about where the Blackhawks are from a goaltending standpoint through two games of the playoffs compared to last year? They came home from Nashville 1-1. Yeah. But remember, in the first game, Crawford got pulled after the first period, gave up three goals, and then Darling finished up, and they won in triple overtime, and then they lost in, I believe, in game two. But there was a little bit of uncertainty there, and later in the series, Crawford came back. Here, Corey Crawford's played two really solid games after a really good job by Darling when Crawford was out.
Yes, I mean, that's why, you know, you pay two goaltenders a lot of money, so, you know, it's a two-man job today. Mm-hmm. And you have to make a change sometime when goalie's not going good. Like, Elliott is playing really well, and they thought it was Allen's team. But he's playing really well, so you go with the guy that's hot. But Crawford's been playing solid for us. The whole team, I think we're playing pretty good hockey right now.
No doubt.
And we just keep this up, and I don't think St. Louis could stay with us in a seven-game series because we have too much speed and too much scoring skill.
Tony, from the point where Corey comes into the league till now, how has he gotten so much better in your mind? I mean, he was great back then too, but he continues to just step into even, you know, a larger place, I think.
Well, what he's doing is he's probably preparation is better. He's mentally stronger than he was when he was younger. He doesn't get rattled when you let in a bad goal, you know. Let in a bad goal, everybody does that, but don't let in two and three. That's when you're dead.
And don't get, you know, we didn't see this year. Don't give one up right after we score. Remember last year, there were three or four or five real crucial incidents.
Yeah.
30 seconds later, you give one up. The other thing is, he seems like nothing made me more nervous than when he'd handle the puck behind the net. It was like Crow looked like the best in the business until he started playing the puck behind the net. This year, he looks so much better at that. That's got to be working on that.
Well, first of all, I think a goalie should handle the puck only in necessity.
Right.
Give it to your defenseman. That's their job to get it out
as quickly as possible.
Yes. But if you got a problem and their man's coming at you, then you got to dump it off.
Sure.
But when you overhandle the puck, that's when you get in trouble.
He seems to like to handle it, partly, don't you think?
But I think he's getting better at it.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting better, but he's handling it less, believe me. And I'm sure that the coaches tell him, give it to the defenseman, let them do their job.
Now, in this era of specialty coaching, every team has a goalie coach. You never had a goalie coach, did you?
Well, not really. Of course, I used to talk to a couple of older guys that I knew in the hockey business that were goalies. And
who'd you listen to? Who were the guys?
Well, I talked to Glenn a little bit too,
sure,
when he was older, and just got some ideas, you know. And but the basic thing was, I knew what I was doing wrong. But it's easy to say you're going to correct it. Sometimes a goalie ends up too deep in the net all the time.
Right, right, right.
And the only reason you're doing that is because you're not at the top of your game and you're trying to cheat. So you don't want to get caught. So, but when you're on the top of your game, everything looks so easy. Then the ball, the puck looks like a basketball sometimes.
Right.
So it makes it a lot easier.
No doubt.
Today, guys watch video. And they break down the video, and they spend a lot of time studying their opponents. They study tendencies of their opponents. Did you use film at all? Was that a help to you?
No, but basically, I knew the good goal scorers. I knew what their habits were. Don't forget, You had 10 teams, 12 teams, first six, 10, 12.
Yeah, but give yourself credit. You're talking about memorizing tendencies as opposed to having a coach sit down with you and go watch these and commit them to memory. But I guess, you know,
but when you got 10 teams instead of 30 teams,
but that was your job too, right? That was your job.
Yeah, I'd concentrate. I mean, I know right now the guys on St. Louis team, who's going to be dangerous and who's going to score and where they shoot. So you get to learn these things. And don't you know, our goalies know the tendencies of Tarasenko and those guys.
Sure.
But you adjust to it.
If you had the pads, though, and the rules of today, I don't think you'd ever allow a Gotonio, or no?
No, I think that the game today, the equipment is much better. But everything else is much better. The coaching systems are much better. You very seldom see a two-on-one or a three-on-two. Because of the coaches, and everybody's really taught to play very good defensive hockey.
But when the rubber meets the road, and when the rubber meets your face mask, is is those instinct moments where you have to decide: are you coming out of the net? Are you going to cut an angle off? Yeah. Are you going to stay back? I mean, some of that you can't teach. That's just repetition.
Well, it's instinct.
Yeah.
You know, when you've been doing it since you were a little guy. You just read the plays. I know what's happening probably before the play happens.
Right.
I just know.
So at the top of your game and at the top of Phil's game, Phil got a penalty shot. Is he going to score?
Well, sometimes he's going to score and sometimes he's not. But the one year
that's a good answer to save Thanksgiving.
I used to get a hate mail sometime. My brother, one year, he scored 76 goals and 76 assists.
Yeah.
And he came into Chicago one time. He hadn't got a goal in three games or something. I think he scored two on me. And, you know, they said, oh, you're letting your brother score.
Not quite.
No.
Not quite. He was pretty good.
Not a chance.
And I'm guessing he still brings that story up. He probably doesn't let you forget it, does he?
Yeah, but I had my day against
him,
too.
Yeah, you did. We need a break. We'll take a quick break. Come back with the great Tony O. Stand by for that as we're live at Goose Island Pub, United Center. We're growing closer to Hawks Blues Game 3 pregame at 1:30, puck drop about 2:20. Keep it here for Hawks coverage all day long. Dave.
This live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 720 WGN.
Patrick Kane joins us now.
Yeah, this is a tough team, one of the best teams in the league. We're going to have our hands full and see what happens the rest of the way.
Are we going to see the mullet?
You know what? I think I'm going to skip the mullet this year.
What did he say? Lee Cochran has the Blackhawks conversation.
This is very serious.
Morning 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
Don't miss Rodgers and Hammerstein's hit Broadway musical, The King and I, opening April 29th for a limited engagement at Lyric Civic Opera House. The story of a British schoolteacher who goes to work for the King of Siam. The King and I features well-known tunes like Shall We Dance, Something Wonderful, and more. With an all-star cast and a lavish production, the whole family will love The King and I. Visit lyricopera.org for tickets today.
Fixing your home mortgage is just as important as fixing your home. Hi, I'm Lou Manfredini. Let Townstone Financial check your interest rate to make sure you aren't paying too much. Since 2002, Townstone has helped thousands of WGN listeners save money with a no-cost refinance. Thinking about a new home purchase? Townstone is always available to help. So give the owner, Barry Sterner, a call, 312-896-2110. That's 312-896-2110, or go to townstone.com.
Townstone Financial is in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Illinois Mortgage Licensee 6629 and MLS 136639.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-400-0806. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 350 procedures, all the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-400-0806. That's 1-800-400-0806. 1-800-400-0806.
Hi, this is Dave Musel, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. With our biggest sale ever, air conditioners from $24.95, furnace and AC combos from $36.95, plus a $1,000 utility rebate, a $1,700 manufacturer's rebate, and 5 years interest-free financing from Four Seasons. And I personally guarantee to beat any competitor's quote by $500, guaranteed. So call today.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The theater nominated for 16 Jeff Awards, taking home five, including Best Musical and Best Director, is proud to announce their 2016-17 Broadway season. Get ready because it's one smash hit after another. Mamma Mia, The Little Mermaid, Sweeney Todd, and Jesus Christ Superstar at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. The best part, buy two shows, get two shows free. Subscribe today at ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com.
WGN. I'm Mark Carman. We are at the United Center. Steve Cochran, Dave Ennett with you till 1:30. Then John and Troy will take over. The great Tony Esposito is here.
And our live broadcast before game three in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And courtesy of Citgo, Citgo is fueling good.
Always good to catch up with our friend Tony O. Tony Esposito, nobody better in net ever. And I love talking about goalies because goalies are fun, goalies are a little bit nutty, and goalies are the key to whether or not any team's going to win. That's why they get paid the money they get paid. But a high water mark for you for getting paid was what?
What do you mean?
How much did you make your best year?
Around 300.
300. You'd be paid more money than Oprah if you were playing at that level. Your level in the game when you were at the peak of your powers today. Can you imagine the goalie money that's out there?
No, I just think it's it was appropriate at the time, and the way it's going now, I'm happy for all these guys. Hope to make more and more money.
Sure.
I wish they would raise that salary cap, to give us a little more flexibility with the Blackhawks here. An extra 10 or 15 million,
So you don't have to break up the championship team all the time. You're absolutely right.
And, it's getting tougher and tougher to keep it together, man, because everybody's value goes up as you win.
Goalies tend to be more superstitious than anybody else in hockey. And I remember Tony told me a story a long time ago. Who was the guy in Stripes that was the Don't Touch My Stuff guy?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Don't Touch My Stuff.
Right.
Tell me if I have the story right. When you laid out your gear, nobody was supposed to come near it, and the worst thing anybody could do is touch it before you put it on. Is that right?
Well, I just didn't like anybody interfering with me in my preparation.
You had your routine.
And everything keys me to get ready for the game.
Right.
And the way I look at it, if I'm going to fail in the game, it's not because I wasn't prepared.
Right.
Sometimes you don't have it. I mean, that's
right,
life.
Sure.
But I was ready every game. And if I was bad, then I knew I got ready for the game, but I stunk the joint out. That happens.
Did it start first thing in the morning when you woke up? Did you have a game day routine, or did it start when you got here?
Mainly around noon.
Okay.
Then I just shut everybody out.
Right. Right, right.
No communication after lunch.
Goalies to me, Dave, like starting pitchers in baseball. If you ever try to talk to a starting pitcher on game day, you're going to get your head shot.
Starting pitchers in baseball, kickers in football,
yeah.
A little bit, too. Steve's the same way before a show every morning.
Completely.
He can't touch
his stuff. Heard he's very crappy.
It's unbelievable.
Can't go near his stuff. Tony and I were talking during the break a little bit about this goal that Philadelphia gave up last night.
You got to see
Washington.
It to completely understand,
yeah.
But try to explain.
But basically, Washington's dumping the puck in, and there's nobody in front of the net. You've got basically half the ice is open, and Steve Mason, the Philadelphia Flyers goaltender, just lets it go right through his legs, and then he throws his head back because he knows he just screwed up
he
big
just completely
time.
Whiffed on it.
And it ended up being the winning goal for Washington.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. There's no excuse for a goal like that. And that was that was the nail in the coffin. That was the end. The game was over after that because, you know, Washington had more momentum, and you can't let in. I mean, everybody lets in bad goals, but that was, I never seen a goal like that in my life ever. He saw it all the way. It was never bounced or anything.
No. Just completely whiffed on it.
Slow motion.
And I'm not defending it, but you hear guys all the time. Lou Piniella used to talk about this. Talk about hitting a pitch that's below hitting speed. In other words, you as a goalie, you're used to seeing a particular speed of the puck coming at you. If somebody throws something up by accident and it's slow, or you get a crazy rebound, are those harder to stop?
Well, in this situation, it was flat on the ice, and you saw it for 50
Stop the friggin' puck!
It was an awful goal, and that cost the team the game.
That's exactly right.
And it's, you know, that's 2-0 they're down now. That could be the series.
Let's talk about today real quick. What are we expecting as far as the Blues are concerned coming back after the what they're calling a rough loss down in St. Louis?
Well, it was a rough loss if you're a loser, and then it was a great win if you're the winner. But we were the winner, so it was a great game. And what they're going to see probably is they're going to try to play it tight and slow us down, play that gritty, you know, that bump and take the puck away and get it out and dump it in. That's their style for a while, and they're trying to slow us down.
You want to see two or three early to get in Elliott's head.
Well, that's all I like to see is get the lead. And then they got to change their game plan because they know they're behind. And if they get two goals down, then they're in big trouble. So
totally different ballgame.
So, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, the game end up being played our way. You know, we're so much better when the team opens a game up against us. They sort of remind me, St. Louis, of the old New Jersey teams in the old past, where they try to keep the shots at 20 shots each.
Right, kind of
boring style.
Right.
But when you force them to open up, that's when we're really at our best.
Take them out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
Before we let you go and enjoy the day, I just want to say something about you that I don't think I've said before on the air, but I love watching you with fans. And I don't know that I've seen maybe five other superstar athletes who love the fan interaction as much as you do. There was a dad here who was a little nervous about bringing his kid over, and you said, send him over, the kid, to take the picture. And it's all stuff that I know you grew up in an era like I did where you respect the people that pay the bills.
Absolutely.
And you do that. But I just love seeing you with fans and the love that you have for these people here in Hawks sweaters.
Well, I just love being in this building. You know, it's great to be a part of a team when, you know, you're no longer can play or anything else, and to be part of it and interact with all these. We got the best fans in the world. Let's be
realistic. That's right. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Come on, guys. We do have the best. And I don't think this Goose Island drink hurts us at all either. It sort of helps us.
And by the way, the Biddy's commercials, it looks like you could still play, Tony.
Well, I wish I could, but the thing is that it's just fun. Being involved still and being in Chicago all the time and seeing guys like you and Steve, and we go back a long way.
And let me say that hand for a second. Oh, anybody wants to give Tony a hard time, you're going to get a little bit of championship right there.
Yes.
Nice to see
you. And I'm left-handed, too.
I know. Yeah, I know. That's why I got in between us.
That's right.
No, Tony Yells. The great Tony Esposito.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
This live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center is presented by the Village Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And it's sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
We're at the United Center. That's Mark Carman, Dave Ennett. I'm Steve Cochran. And Coach Q, of course, joins us this week and every week. Hawks players as well, 6 to 10 Monday through Friday. And we got some good numbers I want to throw at you before we say hi to Jamal Mayers, who's here. This is Blackhawk records. During the 2015-16 season, the Hawks were 2-0-3 versus the Blues, 1-0-2 at St. Louis, and 144-112-35-10. That's the all-time record versus the Blues. All-time playoff series record is 33-25 and 20-8 against the Blues at home. In other words, I like our chances in game three.
That's one stat that stands out.
Let me say hi to Jamal Mayers. Good morning or good afternoon, my friend.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You look good. It's nice to see you wearing something decent for a change. How's the clothing line?
It's been fun. It's a little bit of a passion of mine, so it gets my mind away from the game a little bit, and something I've been interested in for a while.
Well, good for you. You look fabulous, and I don't say that to grown men very often. thoughts on games one and two before we ask you about three?
Well, I think either team could have won both those hockey games, and obviously first one going into overtime. I was really pleased with the way the Hawks came out of the gate. We knew that you needed to weather the storm, which I thought they did. They kind of took over there in the second part of the hockey game. And obviously some good fortune in game two after getting some bad luck in game one. But, obviously those turn calls, the Hawks find a way to get it done. And they stole home ice advantage. And I think the goal heading there for the first two always is to steal one and you end up with home ice. And that's exactly what they have now.
An advantage outside of coming home that you see coming off game two?
I mean,
it feels so even, I can't find one other than their home.
Exactly. I like the way that the power play was able to chip in. I thought, obviously, that was the real sore spot in game one. I think that they generated a lot of chances. Strazi scored a power play goal. I like the movement that they had. Much more direct, obviously, having Duncan Keith back there with his big shot. He walks the line so well, so creative offensively. His game's so well-rounded, and it's the little nuances of his game that you certainly, when he's not out there, you appreciate them even more when he's out there.
We touched on this with Tony Esposito a few minutes ago, but it feels a little bit different coming home than it did when they came home from Nashville 1-1 a year ago. This feels like they've played better the first two games than maybe they did a year ago.
I think that's fair. I think that they started out really slow, and I think that was on the forefront of their minds that, why make it more difficult than it has to be? Obviously, a huge challenge in playing the Blues. They have had a great regular season again, and there's a lot of pressure on that team. So clearly, you're going to get their best, and it's been a heck of a series. I still think it's going to go six or seven. It's been fun to watch, and the Hawks, for me, have those game breakers that have proven it, and there's a calmness in that locker room that given any situation, they don't get rattled at all.
You know, one of the things that's been brought up, Jamal, the numbers bear this out, that, and Patrick Kane alluded to this the other night, they get better as a series goes on. What is it about this team that enables them to do that?
It's just the fact that what I like about this team, and I've said it for a few years in the playoffs, is that every team goes in with a plan, a game plan on what they want to accomplish. The difference between the Hawks and other teams, in my opinion, is that even if doesn't go as planned and they get scored on two goals, their plan is we have to score three. So they don't get rattled. Any situation, doesn't matter what happens within a given game, they find a way to get it done, and they continue to have those game breakers. And, one night it's Taser, another night it's Sieves, next night it's Keith, then it's maybe Marcus Kruger. You got to have different guys step up at different times, and they always seem to find a way to get it done.
That's always a talking point, too, that, hey, well, now are the Blues defeated, or are the Blackhawks after that tough game one loss, momentum in a playoff series? I mean, I always look at it like you guys are professionals. I mean, when I lose in softball, I'm ready to go next week. You guys are there's no way you're getting defeated by one game. That's not what you're about.
No, and I honestly believe there's momentum within a given game, and there's certainly moments where you're taking over and you can ride that for as long as you can within a given game. But game to game, I don't subscribe to the fact that there's momentum. Guys are able to park the game that they just played, whether they lost 6-1 or not. They're going to come back with a fresh mind, ready to compete and know that it's a new challenge. So, yes, there's momentum within a game, but game to game, I don't believe there is.
There's an NBC crew here today to cover the game, so that frees you up in pregame. What do you do? You're out of your routine today.
I know. Maybe I'll get some food and relax.
Time to eat.
What they have down there. That's pretty much what we do.
Time to actually eat. You look like you could play again. Do you wake up someday and go, I'm just waiting for the call and I'm going to do it again?
I think that first year was tough, to be honest, if I were to be completely honest. I don't know if it's part ego or part that I think that I could still play,
sure.
But I'm on the other side of it now. I don't.
You're good with it.
I'm good. There's no way I could play. The game's so fast. I'm 41 now. There's no. I wasn't Jágr.
Are you enjoying the business side of the game?
I've been loving it. I've gotten a chance in my role to visit a lot of over 40 schools in the Chicago area.
That's great.
Putting hockey sticks in kids in the classroom and part of their a break from their normal curriculum and kids that never had a chance to play hockey. And, I think it's the first step. I think that, you should see there's a lot of trepidation when they first have the stick, and then by the end of the day, they're all sweating and having a great time. So I've had a lot of fun.
You see, and Carm, jump in after this, you see in cul-de-sacs all over the suburbs, a place where kids used to play catch, a place where kids used to throw a football, they got hockey nets up now. They're playing street ball. They're doing whatever. They just want the stick. They want the ball. They want the stick or a puck. And they're getting after it, and that's all because of this Blackhawks explosion.
There's no question. You think about what Kane and Taze have done to minor hockey here in town, and the appetite. Let's be honest. It's the team is really for like the 5-year-olds to the 40-year-olds. This is their team. This is
absolutely
the only team they know.
That's a great point.
And I think I'm not sure. Maybe people realize how special this group really is. I think in 20 years we'll look back and say, "Wow, that was a fun
golden
ride.
Age, kids. You better enjoy
that
it.
Was a fun ride."
Carm's last word.
I'm just curious when you're talking about playing. What do you miss the most? Is it the competition? Is it the stepping on the ice in front of 20,000? Is it the room? And what would you point to?
I think if I had to point to one thing, it's in the room. It's being around the guys. It's the feeling, exhilaration of winning and losing. I always tell people when you're playing, it's up and down and up and down, nonstop, fast paced. And real life is more like this, so
sure.
It takes a little bit to adjust to. But, yeah, I just miss being around the guys.
Got a social media hook you want people to follow you on?
I'm all good. I'm good.
Really?
You can go to @ Jamal Mares just on my Twitter
really?
Handle and stuff
I've
like that.
I've never had anyone turn down a free plug. It's unbelievable. You're a good guy. Jamal, nice to see you, man. And I appreciate
all
everything you're doing with the organization and what you're doing for kids, too. So please keep that up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, bud. All the best. Dave.
This live broadcast for the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup Playoffs at the United Center is presented by The Village Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. And sponsored by GEICO. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Back at the United Center, just a few more minutes before we send it off to actual pregame. This will be the extended pregame, which leads to actual pregame, which leads to the opening ceremonies, which leads to the flame being lit, which leads to the puck drop at 2:20. So let's talk a little bit about what we three expect to happen today, starting with you, Carm.
Well, I look for another close, low-scoring 2-1 tussle. I also expect the Blues to come out hitting, if possible, more than they already have. I think there's a lot of narrative out there about the Blues are going to roll over, and I think they're going to try to show everyone, including themselves, that that is absolutely not the case, and I think you'll see that early. So to me, it's for the Blackhawks, it's keep it simple, get pucks to the net, the whole deal, because you can't get fancy against the Blues. So as much traffic as you can get, the way they're scoring, I think that's the way to victory. And what Tony was saying earlier about getting a lead, if that happens, you get one of those, then it starts to open up. I think things will start looking a whole lot
like
better.
Didn't you like the way Tony kept it simple? Hey, if we score more goals, we win.
I agree with him on that.
Yeah.
I think the key number, and I've heard this earlier this morning, and you mentioned it again, Steve, a 20-8 record in Chicago in the playoffs against the Blues.
Right.
And the fact that, and I know he's played well, Elliot, but Corey Crawford's been through so many of these decisive tie-breaking games. The winner of Game 3 in a playoff series, when it's tied 1-1, has gone on to win the series two-thirds of the time. And I think the Blackhawks know that. They understand that these are the kinds of games you need to win. They might very well lose the next one, but this is a really important game.
I agree.
Get.
Well, you got a score for me?
I think this is going to be a one-goal game. I'm going to go.
What'd you have, Carm? 2-1?
2-1 Hawks.
I think it's going to be, there are going to be a couple more than that. But I'm saying, I'm going to go 3-2 again.
3-2. Oh, and by the way, we should give credit to our friend Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. who called a 3-1 Friday night final. And if not for that that chippy little goal with 2 seconds
right.
to go, he nailed it completely.
Yes, he did.
So I'm calling him Kreskin now, for those of you old enough to know who Kreskin is.
I got a text from one of my guy friends on Friday night. I love Pat Boyle. I found that to be a little bit awkward, but that text did come in.
There's a lot to love there. Here's the thing. First period is key, and the first period is key more so today than in either of the first two games. Primary reason being, if the Blues don't take the crowd out of it in the first period, everybody in the NHL, if they're honest, they'll tell you in 2016, forget about Montreal, forget about any other arena in the league. This is the toughest building for a road team to play in, and that's not hype for these fans. It's the truth. It's loud. It's consistent. It's persistent. It starts from the moment we get the national anthem knocking down the walls and blowing the roof off the sucker. So if the Blues control the first period, anything can happen. I don't think they will. I think the Hawks get up early, and I think it's a little wider score today. 4-1 Hawks.
I like it. I like it.
Everybody is on board with that.
So, and if none of these are true, remember, my name is John Williams, and you are?
David Kaplan.
And you are David Kaplan as well.
That'll work. I was going to go Kathy and Judy, just take them both on.
All right, why don't we do this? Do you mind if we take the early break? Let's take the break a little early, and we'll come back, and then we'll wrap it up here. But first, here's Dave.
All right, spruce up your backyard this spring with by-the-yard maintenance-free patio furniture and accessories made from recycled plastic milk jugs right here in the USA. It's good for you and good for the environment. Join Lou Manfredini in a live broadcast at By the Yard in Vernon Hills, Saturday, April 23rd from 7 to 10 a.m. Enjoy the show with breakfast treats and fun prizes. Details at WGNradio.com/events. Call 847-793-0303 or visit bytheyard.net to get your free catalog. This live broadcast from the first round of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs at the United Center has been presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Relocate your business for success. It was sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. And it's also courtesy of Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
And we're back at the Goose Island Pub for just another couple of minutes before we send it off to Hawks pregame. I want to thank the Blackhawks organization for, again, taking good care of us here with every broadcast that we're out here on Tuesday night. Game start time is 8:30, or as I like to call it, 20 minutes before I go to bed.
Right.
But we will ride it out with you. And as this goes on, I'd like to tell you earlier game times are coming, but TV seems to think later is better. So as the Hawks go deeper, we're probably going to have a few more of those. Still feel like this is going to be a 7-gamer now instead of a 6, but I've got to stick with 6 because that's what I said at the outset. I think you said 6, too, didn't you?
I did 6. I wavered. I almost said 5 at one point, but then I thought better of it.
Did you make a prediction, or did you want to make one now?
I ruminated in my head nightly and never did, Steve. The series to me is just so impressive at how tight it is and how physical it is.
It feels like 7, doesn't it?
It really does. So, I mean, this is a Blues team. I feel like you're going up a team on their last stand, right? I mean, they're like, hey, if we don't get through now, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it's a major force the Hawks are dealing with.
It's a good afternoon to try to go play a public golf course, which would normally be crowded on a beautiful day. But today it's like a Bears-Packers game. Everybody will be inside watching hockey, and you'll be able to get outside and do something if you are one of the two or three fans in Chicago who aren't completely captivated by this. As we go forth this week, we remind you the Steve Cochran Show has Coach Q this week. We will have one of the players during a thing we call Breakfast with the Blackhawks. On a couple of days, we've got you covered. We'll bring in one of the legends and one of the analysts as well. There's no better place to get better Hawks coverage than 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday with us. And we trust and value in the partnership going forward.
And tomorrow,
those are good people.
Yep, they're great people. Tomorrow morning we'll have the complete wrap-up on this game, all the reaction, and look ahead to game number 4 here on Tuesday night.
And we'll be back out here live on Tuesday night as well. Roe will be here in the afternoon, I believe, and I know that I'll be here with Brian Noonan 7 to 8, so stop on by if you're coming out Tuesday night.
Oh, that's excellent. Good. And Carm's doing a great job. I mean, really, he should get real work, but I'm telling you, he's doing a great job.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Really, he's doing a great job.
I've been talking with the city about some other opportunities as far as, you know, just making, you know, beautifying that type
of thing. One of the things I wanted to make mention of, we got 30 seconds? Okay. President Rafael Correa from Ecuador was in a week ago, and as a matter of chance, of course, there was this horrible earthquake yesterday in Ecuador. We wish him the best and his people the best, and obviously the people of Ecuador the best. And you know, once again, we find out how blessed we are that we're here and not there, because there's so many other places in the world we could call there. So enjoy the Hawks pregame. Enjoy the game. Happy to be your Hawks radio station.